Open up to the book of Colossians, chapter number 4. Colossians, chapter number 4. Last Sunday, we spent some time talking about using our talents for the Lord, using our abilities and our opportunities and our possessions for God and for His ministry and His service. And tonight, we're going to continue on looking at that a little bit to help us understand a few more truths. There's different ways people made a difference in the Bible, and we looked at some of the what we would call the big name characters on Sunday mornings. We looked at the Daniels and the Abrahams, and we looked at the Pauls, and we looked at some the Josephs, and we looked at some of the bigger names. And you say, "Okay, Pastor, those guys really don't describe me. I wasn't the father of a nation, or I wasn't this great missionary like the Apostle Paul. I wasn't second in charge of." Egypt and things like that. And tonight we're going to look at some what we consider maybe some of these people as lay people and the idea they did not have a full-time preaching ministry, people that were able to make a difference with the talents and the abilities that God had given them. Throughout the Bible, we see different people making a difference. We see different people using their talents and their abilities. You know, as the most basic form, you think of that boy who had that simple lunch that he was willing to give to God and willing to give to Jesus. And Jesus took that little lunch and worked miracles. It reminds me back when you go to the story of Moses and where God goes to Moses and says, I want to use you to deliver my people from the people of Egypt. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord have not appeared unto thee. I don't know if you remember the response. And the Lord said unto him, he says, what is that in thine hand? It was simply a rod, but it's the idea Moses, who didn't believe he had the talent or ability, the speaking ability, didn't believe that God could use someone like him. He's like, forget all the things that you are worrying about yourself. Look at what I've given you and what's that in your hand. And I preached a message a long time ago about what's that in your hand. And we talked about tracing through the Bible about the different things that people given God has put in their hands and how God has let them use. Thinking about the boy's lunch, thinking about David having that sling and Noah having a hammer, Abel having a sacrifice, Moses having a rod, John the Baptist having a voice. You know, the widow that had the oil, the widow that had the two mites, all throughout the Bible. You see God using different people of different abilities, different talent levels for His glory and for His use. So the question comes to tonight is, has God been using you? And what is that that's in your hand? What is it, that talent, that ability that God has given you to use for His glory? Look at three things tonight. We're going to look at whether or not we're available. I know we talked about that last Sunday morning, but we're going to show you some people who were available in Colossians chapter number 4. Not only talking about being available to God, we're going to look at someone who abandoned God. And that's what happens when we say, I don't want to use my talent. I don't want to use my ability. I know why you gave it to me, but I'm going to abandon God in this idea of using the talents and abilities given me. And also I want us to look at, and this is an important one, and this is one of the main reasons why we want to look at this message tonight, is the attitudes about our gifts. The attitudes about our gifts. Here in Colossians chapter number 4, you have Paul, who has already established things about the gospel, has already established the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He's already established a lot of things in the chapters before, and he's saying goodbye here in this passage of Scripture. But when he says goodbye, there's a group of people in this passage of Scripture that has made a difference in the life of the people of Colossae. And I want to look at some of these different characteristics and some of these different people and how they were available to God. Let's look here, verse number 7, chapter number 4, Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 7. The Word of God says, and all my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Now you say, Pastor, he says he's a minister. I know that. But you see that he's allowing God to be used by being sent from one spot to another. Paul had people that he could not be everywhere. But there was fellow, and that key word in there, fellow servant. Going to a place he was not familiar with, doing something that people he did not know. And you continue on here. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, talking about Onesimus, was from this area. Remember, Onesimus was a slave that ran away from Philemon. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And you see this next character, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. This is a friend of his, this person who is also a prisoner. Paul is a prisoner at this time. And Marcus. Now, you see the name Marcus here. Marcus is down here. It's a different Marcus down there. This is the John Mark that's found in the Bible. Remember the story about John Mark, and he went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. But after a while, he abandoned. He left. He went back home. And you see that he is here, and you see how he has been reinstituted into the ministry. He says, "Sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." Paul was saying, look, I rejected him before, but if he comes unto you, receive him. Verse number 11, "And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision," now this is referring to the fact that this was a Jew that was among them, "these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been of a comfort unto me." Epaphras, now he is also a minister or a preacher. But I want you to see here, he was probably the pastor of this church here in Colossae, and he has now changed into his ministry. You see, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you and laboring fervently in your prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. His ministry changed. At one point in time, a pastor, and many people believe he took the gift from the church of Philippi to Paul. And here, as this pastor, you see that he is still doing a ministry, but his ministry had changed. And even though his ministry has changed, look how he takes this opportunity to serve the Lord. Look how it's described here, how he serves. It says, laboring. I think most of us know what the word labor means. It says, fervently. You know, great, he's laboring fervently and doing what? He's laboring fervently in prayer. And that's what we talked about this morning. Are we going to be like Eli, sitting and watching somebody fervently praying like he did with Hannah? Or are we going to be the one that's fervently laying ourselves into prayer? Now, I want you to get this. You know, people say, well, the pastor, that's a more important job than praying. He has given himself over now to fervently be praying for his people. The ministry had changed for him, but it was something he still saw as important. And he didn't do it halfway or half-heartedly. It was something that he was fervent about. Verse 13, "For I bear him record that he have a great zeal for you." Now listen to that, a great zeal. And how does he see the zeal? It's through prayer. A great zeal. You say, I can't do much. I can't do anything. You can labor fervently in prayer. And he said, great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. 14, Luke, and we're going to look at it a little bit tonight, the beloved physician. There you got a guy who is not a preacher, but he is a physician being used by God. And Demas greets you. Salute the brethren which are at Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in the house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now that's a fantastic verse there. It's saying, take notice, pay close special attention to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. He says, look, here's your ministry. Take heed to it. Make sure that you fulfill the ministry that God's given you. I told you last week, I believe if you are a child of God, that God has given you some type of gift. See, I don't have much to offer. God has given you a gift. He wants you to use that gift for his glory and for the edification of the church. Take heed in that ministry and that gift he's given you, and make sure you fulfill it. Continue on reading. The salutation to the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we definitely need your help. Lord, sometimes we feel like we have nothing to offer to you. Some of us think we have so much to offer. Lord, help us to find that medium where you see us as a servant, we see ourselves as a servant that can be used by God. Lord, with the talents, the abilities, and the possessions that we have. Lord, I pray tonight as we look at a couple of these characters that we are motivated to be available for you. See how that you use these men and also see how you're willing to use us. God, help us tonight. Lord, we need to hear from you. God, we need to feel your presence. God, we need to be able to be inspired to work and do what you called us to do with the gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, in this story tonight, first person I want you to look at is chapter verse 14 at the beginning, Luke, the beloved physician. It says, Luke greets you. So what do we know about Luke? He was a Christian man. We also know that he was a physician, that we know he was a doctor. So we know that he was an educated Gentile. You know, back then and now today, physicians had to go through a great deal of education to become a doctor. We also know that he was wealthy. Both then and now, physicians typically do quite well on their economic ladder of success. So we see here Luke, there with a man that's in a prison. Now, he's not out getting rich like he could. He's not some guy that's dumb as rocks. He's not some guy that can't be doing something else. We see a man that is here, that is dedicated and given his life and commit and become a committed Christian, who travel with Paul throughout his missionary journeys, giving up the comforts of his home to travel with Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys and to join him in his imprisonment. When I was in my 10th grade or 11th grade year, you know, as a teenager, somewhere around the age of 16, you think you know everything. I was sitting in a Bible class, and I had this teacher. He was a first-year teacher at our school. His name was Timothy Lingle. Now, he didn't last very long at our school, but I think he was there until I graduated. At least he was there until 11th grade year, but I know he was at least there for 2 or 3 years. We were sitting there in Bible class one day, and we were talking and discussing, and this young man, who's probably 25 to 28 years old, he talked about being willing to come and teach at our school. Now, teaching at Elkton Christian School back then meant that you did not make very much money. I don't know about you, but most times Christian school teachers do not make a ton of money if they're at a little Christian school. I can tell you that this man probably, because I know my wife taught there for a number of years, this man, as a grown man, probably made under $15,000 a year, probably somewhere around $13,000 a year. Now, I know this was back in 1988, 1989, so back then, that meant a little bit more, but it still was not very much. And he told us this story that how he had lived in Japan. I believe he may have been a missionary's child. He lived in Japan, and he left a job where he was making $90,000 a year, come all the way across the sea, come teach at Elkton Christian School, because that's what God thought. That's what he thought God wanted him to do. Well, I thought he was crazy. I thought he was stupid. I mean, I says, $90,000 a year, and you're coming here and you're making not even a quarter of that, almost just a tenth of that. And I thought, why in the world would somebody be willing to do that? Well, see, God had laid something on his heart. God had told him and gave him a talent, he believed, that he wanted to use and he wanted to minister. He left a place of where he would consider probably a very comfortable living to come to a place where he did not know anyone. He was a first-year teacher. He was there. He was single. He came to a place, and I don't know how he got connected with our school, but I remember him telling that story and that story sticking with me. When I come to this story of Luke, I think of Luke as probably very educated, probably very wealthy, but being a very committed Christian. Now, he is someone who was willing to give up the comforts of his life, to travel around with Paul. Now, this was not a luxury journey, was it? We hear the stories of the missionary journeys. What do we see? We don't see them riding around in BMWs. We don't see them eating at the fanciest houses. We don't see them being greeted and welcomed by everyone. If you go through those missionary journeys, they were dangerous times. They were times of hardship and times of trial, times of where that they don't know what they're even going to make it through. People picked up rocks and threw them at Paul. People picked up rocks and threw them at the people that was with them. People tried to kill them. Their cities were turned upside down against them. And we see this man, a beloved physician, going with Paul, traveling alongside there, being used by God. And you see that phrase there. He says, the beloved physician. I don't know about you, but that tells me that he was a man that was willing to sacrifice his wealth and his comforts for the glory of God and the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people saw that. People recognized that. But he was a lovable guy. He was loved by others because what he was willing to do. You say, Pastor, how does that work with us? Well, it just gives us the perfect example. I know that most of us, there's only a few of us that are what we consider into a full-time Christian ministry. And I think we should all be serving the Lord in some type of full-time capacity with our hearts and always, whether we get paid to do it or not do it, to be ministering with our lives because we are always full-time Christians. But here in this story, you see this man who was willing to give of himself, leave the comforts of this world behind, to be a committed Christian, to serve God with the talents he had. God used his talents. Paul, who had some different physical problems. Many people believe that thorn in the flesh was something that had to deal with a medical condition relating to his eyes. And we talked about that before. We're not sure if it was an eyes disease or whatever, but it was a great blessing to have this doctor along on these trips. And you look at Luke, he's the author of the Gospel of Luke. He's at the author of the book of Acts. And the eloquent presentation that he makes of Jesus Christ is amazing. If you combined all the words and all the writings of Luke compared to Apostle Paul, Luke wrote more words in the Word of God than the Apostle Paul did. Now, there might have been more chapters given to the Apostle Paul. There might have been more books. But you compare the number of words, number of letters, Luke blows him out of the water. He was a man that was able to be used by God. Now, I do believe he was in a form, in a way. He was somebody who did preach the gospel in Italy and Galatia and Macedonia. But that was not his primary position. That was not his primary job. That's not what he went to school for. That's not what he left behind. He used his talents as a physician. As a physician for God's glory. Now, we got talents all throughout our church. God gives us gifts and talents. Question is, how are we going to use them? What's that's in your hand? Are you available for God? What we asked last Sunday morning was, is God using you? And if he's given all of us talents, he's given all of us abilities, he wants us to use our time and our effort and abilities, what's that in your hand? And are you using it for God? In a stark contrast, you see a reminder in the second part of verse 14. We see that Luke was available to God. But in verse 14, we see a man who abandoned God. Abandoning God. You see this story here. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Now, Demas here is a man that was mentioned three times in the Bible. Only three times. It was mentioned first in Philemon, where it says, Marcus and Articius, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Talks about how he was a laborer with God. Laborer with Paul, serving the Lord. Verse 14, we see that he says, Demas greets you. So we see Demas here is still there with Paul in the prison. And 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul writes, as he's there and he's in bonds, getting ready to be offered as a sacrifice, be able to put to death, he pens these words, For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. So here's the thing. He was a man that was being used by God. He was a person that was using his talents, was using his gifts, was using his ability. But the Apostle Paul says, now when I need somebody the most, now when I'm there, I'm getting ready to leave this world, he says, Demas has forsaken me. He has left, and you see what the word says, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I want to contend with you tonight that sometimes we love this world so much that we don't use the talents, the abilities, the things that God has given us for his work and for his service because we care too much about this world. We care too much about what people think. We care too much about getting things. Instead, we use our talents, our abilities, our time, and our effort to further ourselves, not for the cause of Christ, but for the cause of me. And tonight when we look at this, I want you to understand that some of us are abandoning God because we love this world too much. Demas forsook Paul and apparently never returned. He loved the world. Now we're not talking about the physical world. We know people can appreciate the beauty of the world. We're talking about the evil system controlled by Satan, the society that is without God. John describes the world system as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. James goes as far as says, if you love the world, it's the world systems, that you don't love God. To be a friend of this world is to be in enmity with God. And we don't know where Demas fell. We don't know what caused demons to quit. We don't know what caused demons forsake. Maybe it was all three of these things grabbed a hold of him and trapped him. But we know that he abandoned God. We know that he no longer used his talents and his abilities. Why? It's because he loved this world too much. Tonight, when we look about our gifts and our talents, and we're getting ready to look at our attitudes, and that's the biggest thing I want you to understand. Are you available for God? Or have you abandoned the gifts that God's given you? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about gifts? We looked at it last week, last Sunday night, that the Spirit manifests himself in through a Christian, through all of us, in one way or another. And maybe someday we will look at the different spiritual gifts that the Bible speaks about. But I want to encourage you tonight to think about this. Am I being used by God? And am I using what God's given me? The third thing I want you to think about is our attitudes. And this is, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn it to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Say, Pastor, how does a guy like Demas stop serving? And that's an age-old question, but I think I got a good answer for you. You know, he really wanted to have both things. He wanted to live for the world and live for God at the same time. He wanted to serve two masters. It's sort of like taking your feet and you got two canoes sitting there or two boats and you take one boat here, one foot in another boat and try to stand up. It's just not going to work. Sooner or later, you're going to fall. Sooner or later, you're going to have to make a decision. And that's the same thing. Am I going to use my talents and abilities for myself? Or am I going to use what God's given me for him? And here's the idea. Am I available for God or have I abandoned God? You say, Pastor, there's got to be some middle ground. And the truth is, we can't serve two masters. Either our hearts for God or our hearts for ourselves. And this is a stark contrast to John Mark. This is a stark contrast because John Mark had before left Paul, left Barnabas. Things got too hard. Things got too tough. And he ran home. And remember the story that he wanted to come on a second missionary journey. And Paul said, no, we're not going to take him. And Barnabas still, Barnabas brought him back and began to serve the Lord. And we see now that in the story that he's mentioned in the Bible because he was still using his talents and abilities. Here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 to 11, I want you to see this. And it goes along with this idea that Archippus, which he was told to fulfill the ministry that God had given him, make their life count for God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, look in verses 10 and 11. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God of all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. When we talk about our attitudes in serving God, the first thing we need to understand is to have the attitude to glorify God. You look at your lives and you look at why we serve. Look at why God gave us a gift. Look at why you have a talent. Look at why God wants to use you. He wants to bring glory to himself. And when you look at your life with this type of attitude, and when you look at it with these sights, look what it says in verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak at the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability which God giveth, which means to the fullest ability we have, like Archippus that we saw earlier, that you take heed of the ministry God's given you and that you fulfill it, that you continue on, that you do what God's given you. And look at what the purpose is. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom he be praise and dominion forever and ever. Here's the purpose. It's the reason why God's given us gifts, is so that he can have glory. And this is our attitude. If we will serve like this, if we will take what we have in our hands and say, I want God to use this for his glory. I want God to use this for himself. Then I tell you that this idea of serving and saying, this is what I do. You can't touch it. This is why I serve. This is about me. That will all stop. When we serve, when we sing, when we preach, when we do puppets, or when we do visitation, when we do the opportunity to teach at a Sunday school class, work in a nursery, everything we do is based off this idea. I want to get God to get glory. The reason why we come to church and the reason why we listen It's because of the fact that we want God to get glory in His Word. We want God to hear. We want God to get glory in everything that we do. It says here, if any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. It means that every part of us, that God's going to get glory in my life. I know you say, Pastor, sometimes it just feel like anything gets accomplished. Sometimes it's like we're spinning our wheels. But if you take this attitude that, hey, what I am doing is for God's glory. I'm here at church. The reason why I'm here at church is not to pass notes, not to be talking, not to be goofing around. Instead, it is for God's glory. That's why I'm here, is to hear about God, to hear God speak, to hear God teach to my heart. When I pray, I'm not praying for myself. I'm not talking to myself. I'm praying for the glory of God because I want God to glory. And that's what he's saying here. Everything I do, I'm going to do to my fullest extent. I'm going to do that so I not get the glory, but God gets it. That's our attitude. And that's what we got to understand. When we serve, when we do everything we do it to the best and to the fullest extent. We're all out and we're doing it for the Lord. Whatever part we do. Now, some of us might have a lunch in our hands that just is five loaves and two fishes. But some of us might have much more. Is one more valuable than the other? No, that's God who gives us the talents and the abilities that we have. The question is, are we willing to give that back to God? And I think so many of us, we've missed this point. We come to church for so many different reasons. We serve for so many different reasons. We feel guilty. It's supposed to be for God's glory. And that's why we serve. That's why we do what we do. And it's, are you available to bring glory to God through you? Are you available to bring glory through God's talents that he's given to you? Or have you abandoned that idea? Have you said, hey, I don't have anything to offer? Or are we like Moses says, they're not going to listen to me. Why should I do it? God says, what's that in your hand? I can use it. God says to that boy at lunch, what's that in your hand? I can use it. David, what's that in your hand? You got some rocks? I can use those. Hey, what's that talent you got there? And you might not think it's much, but God says, I can use it for my glory. Question is, are you willing to give it up? Not only is it to glorify God, but there's also another attitude here I would like for you to look at. It's to help the church. Go ahead and take your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, we see that there are some different attitudes we can use for our gift. You know, too many times when we minister, we go and say, this is mine, this is all I'm going to do, no one else can touch it, no one else can have anything to do with it, no one else. It's the wrong attitude. It stinks, because of the fact that we're not worried about God getting the glory. We're worried about having something. And that's not what we're talking about here. When we're talking about the gifts and talents and abilities we have, we're talking about having a willing and open heart so God can use us for his glory. Look here in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, why did he give this? And this is the attitude. Why did God give us gifts in the church? Now, I know these are certain gifts, and you say, I'm not any of these people, but it's the same thing, that he gave these things to the church. Why did God give this church? It's to build up the body of Christ. So when we use our talents, when we sing, when we witness, when we do everything we do, we use these talents to get for God to build up the body of Christ here. It says in verse number 12, for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. God wants you to encourage, help, and strengthen someone in your local church. As you use your talents and your gifts, you help others grow spiritually. Because when you say, I'm not going to use it, I'm not going to do anything, that's when we don't help grow the church. We don't edify the church. But it says here, why was these gifts given? It's because of the fact that Jesus Christ gave these gifts to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, to build them up. Also, you see in verse number 13, it's the attitude to develop unity. It's the idea that we need to come together and see things in a like-minded way. We need to move forward to achieve the goals that God wants us to, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The number one goal in fulfilling the Great Commission, the number one goal in helping people know Jesus Christ and the Lord, is to glorify God. Does God get glory when we're not unified? Does God get glory when we're not using our talents and gifts for a like-minded cause, for a certain purpose, for the cause of Christ? If our great goal is to glorify God and reach others for Christ, we need to work together. And talked about unified, but most churches are split. Most churches have attitudes and don't consider. That's not why God gave us gifts. That's not why God gave. It's to unify the body. It's to develop maturity. Look what it says in verse number 14. That we henceforth develop maturity in the body of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Here it is. It's so we can mature. You know, when we keep our talents or our gifts, we don't want to help, we don't want to do anything, we are causing the church to stunt its growth. We're being immature and causing the body to be immature. And I want to encourage you tonight, when you think about the gifts and talents you have the attitude, I want to bring God glory. I want to build the body of Christ. I want to help develop unity in the body of Christ. I want to help mature the body of Christ. These are the reason why God gave me talents. These are the reason why God gave me ability. In verse 16, it says to grow the body. It says, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by the which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. If something is healthy, it grows. Healthy things grow. Church health brings growth. Now, you say, I want our church to grow. Then use your talents and abilities. Don't sit and say, it's just me and myself. I'm not going to do anything. Use your talents and abilities for God. Now, you say, I don't got much. Neither did many people in the Bible. I don't think I have much of anything to offer God. But whatever God does and God uses, it's him. It's not me. And the reason why I preach, and the reason why I sing, and the reason why I pray, and the reason why, it's because I want God to get glory in my life. This is my desire. Yes, I want to have the attitude that I can help the church grow. I want to get the attitude that to help the church mature and help the church become unified and help the church do these things. And God will get glory from all that. But here it is. Am I available? Luke was available. Luke left his house. Luke left everything he had. And I'm not saying God's calling that from you. God doesn't call everybody to leave their house and leave everything they have and, like those missionaries, go to different parts of the country. Some people, different parts of the world. Some people had the opportunity to give to help those missionaries go. Some people have the opportunity to make this their mission field. But am I available to God? Luke gave up all the comforts at home to be able to be used by God. Now, there's a difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents. Natural talents. Atheists have natural talents. Many people who don't believe in God are very talented and gifted people. But only Christians have spiritual gifts. Now you take these talents and gifts, they can be blended together. But I want you to look and see what God has given you. Take a deep look. I can help you if you ever have any interest in learning about the spiritual gifts that you have. We have a wonderful lesson in our discipleship course that talks about the spiritual gifts and talents that you have, that God has given you to use to help in the church. Natural talents come from parents. Spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. Natural talents are present from the natural birth. Spiritual gifts are given at the time of conversion. Natural talents benefit the earthly realm. Spiritual gifts benefit the spiritual realm. Natural talents advance man's plans. Spiritual talents advance God's plans. Natural talents results are usually temporary. Spiritual gifts and talents are results that are lasting forever. Natural talents glorify self. Spiritual talents and gifts glorify God. God has a great toolbox of gifts. He designed each and every one of us with something to do, with some type of ability and some type of talent. Are you using your gift? Are you making yourself available to God? And I am so thankful for all those people who are so faithful and who make themselves available to God, make themselves available to the church, and be willing to give of themselves over and over and over. I appreciate that. And I'm not even trying to put out a one ad for serving. What I'm trying to put out of one ad is that we need to take our lives, every single one of us, no matter how old we are, no matter boy, girl, man, woman, married, unmarried, in their 80s, 90s, in their teen years, we need to figure out how we can take our lives and bring glory to God with it. And we do that through the spiritual gifts he's given us. Does that matter to you at all? Do you want to bring glory of God in your life? You say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Then first place you can start is where Hannah was, saying, God, I know you created me for your glory. What is it that you want me to do? And ask God to show you and teach you the things he wants you to do. And then you have this attitude, not only will this bring glory to God, but this will help our church to grow spiritually, maturely, grow unified, to mature us, and grow physically. You know, all those things are added benefits. Those are the attitudes towards our gifts. John Wesley once wrote, it says, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Listen to that again. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. I wonder if that's really describing us. Are we doing all we can for God's glory? And I'm not talking about you doing this for me. I'm talking about doing it for God. I'm not talking about you coming to church for me, serving for me. I know I get to direct. I get the privilege God's called me to oversee. And I know you've got to do it certain ways that I approve of. I know all that. But I'm talking about for God's glory. If you have oracles, you teach that according to all that God's given you. And I want to encourage you tonight with this little last story that we wrote last Sunday, this little poem. It says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. I know that we can't do everything. I know sometimes some people get so overwhelmed, so frustrated, and I've heard it more than once. I can't do everything. And they're not, and that's because they've pushed themselves out and they've put themselves so far out there that they're running on empty, they're exhausted, and they're killing themselves for the cause of Christ. And then you got people who jokingly say it, you know, I just can't do everything, preacher, and they're smiling because they know that they're going to help. But you may be only one, but you are someone. You may only have one gift, but you have something. I know you can't do everything, but there is something that each and every one of us can do. And what I can do, I ought to do. You should do the things that you can do. And what you ought to do, by the grace of God, tonight, I want to encourage you to make a commitment to God that you want to do it. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it could be, but whatever it is that God wants you to do, no matter how small it is in your eyes or how gigantic it may seem to the rest of the world, I'm going to do what God has enabled me to do. Not for Pastor Pease's glory, not so that we can have lots of people at our church, just like the apostle, like Luke, not the apostle Luke, but just Luke, willing to leave these other things behind to use his gifts and the things he studied for God's glory. And I know we have lots of people in here, lots of different talents and lots of different abilities. I just want you to use what God's given you for his glory. Remember, tonight, it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do for ourselves. It's a spiritual idea of what we can do that will bring glory to him. There's a lot of different ways in the Bible. You go through the Bible and you see God using kids. You see God using women. You see God using men, young and old. You see God using, letting Samson use some type of part of the ox bone or whatever. You see all types of things. What is it in your hands? Like we asked last Sunday morning, is God using you right now in your life? Are you doing something for him? And are you available? Are you available for what God has planned for you? Many of us shut our doors and say, I'm just not available, Pastor. And that's what Demas did. He forsook Paul. He forsook God. He abandoned God. Why? He loved the things of this present world too much. Don't love the things of this world too much. Love of the world means that the love of the Father is not in us. If we're a friend of the world, we're at enmity with God. God's given you something, each and every one of you, young and old, to do for Him. Use those talents and abilities. You belong. You got a church home and church family. Use it for His glory. Let's go ahead and pray.